This is Ray Martinez. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today as we have these deep conversations. We're in week 6 of the study of the fruit of the Spirit, and today we're going to be talking about goodness. We've all heard these terms when people talk about goodness. We have expressions like, oh, my goodness, or goodness gracious, or good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good night. Or have you heard the expression, goody good gumdrops, or good riddance, good luck, and good grief? Well, we can go on with a long list, but our scripture reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. And here's what it says. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. In essence, this light that's in you comes from the Lord, and that light produces what is good and right and true. There is a conjunction of those words tied together that cannot be separated. In other words, if you have goodness or this light of goodness in you, it will produce what is right and bring out the truth of what is going on within you and others. It's very revealing. God's light doesn't have any shadows like the sun casts on us when we're walking outside. There isn't a dark side with God's light. I like what Mark Twain said. Even the moon has a dark side. Well, even our walk with Christ doesn't have any dark sides. So we can rest comfortably knowing that He is shedding light all around us. And this goodness is very revealing. The concept of goodness is fundamental in the Bible. It's reflecting the attributes such as moral excellence, righteousness, and kindness. Here are just a few key verses and stories that I want to share with you. In Psalms 23, verse 6, we all know Psalms 23, but you go down to verse 6 and it says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In another version, it says, "Surely in goodness will follow you all the days of your life," right? A friend of mine used to say, "Well, I like that verse, but what's surely got to do with this?" It's just a little humor, but it was funny the way he used to say that. This verse really emphasizes the eternal nature of God's goodness and love, which are constant companions for those who follow Him. The takeaway from this verse is a profound reassurance of God's constant presence and care in the lives of believers. Here are some key points to take away. God's goodness and love. The verse emphasizes the certainty and the assurance of God's goodness and love. It's not a question of whether or not these qualities will be present. Rather, it's a declaration of their steadfastness, this unwavering nature. Despite life's ups and downs that we go through, God's goodness and love remains constant. It's going to be there regardless of our situation. Then there is a continuous presence. The imagery of God's goodness and love following King David suggests a continuous presence throughout life's journey. This implies that wherever we go, whatever we face, God's goodness and love are with us, guiding, comforting, and sustaining us. Then there's this eternal security. The verse concludes with the assurance that believers will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This speaks of the ultimate destination and the security found in God's presence. It is a reminder that our relationship with God extends beyond our earthly lives and into eternity, where we will experience His presence fully and intimately. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 18. Verse 19. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Isn't that interesting? No one's good. He said it's only God that's good. In other words, it's the goodness that we have, it comes from God. In this passage, Jesus acknowledges the ultimate source of goodness as being God Himself. It highlights the divine standard of goodness and underscores the need for humans to align themselves with God's goodness, this supernatural goodness. Remember, all these things of the fruit of the Spirit is supernatural. Luke 18 verse 19 really serves to elevate God's goodness as the ultimate standard and to prompt contemplation on Jesus, his identity as the divine Son of God. It encourages us to align our understanding of goodness with God's character and to recognize Jesus' unique relationship with God. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a classic example. Look at Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. This famous parable really tells the story of a man who was robbed, beaten, left dead on the side of the road. And then there's these two religious leaders that pass by without helping. But a Samaritan, who is not even allowed to walk on the same side of the road, traditionally an enemy of the Jews, stops to care for the wounded man. He tends to his wounds, takes him into an inn, and pays for his care, and wants to be charged if there's any extra fees that he should cover when he gets back. So Jesus uses this parable to illustrate the principle of loving one's neighbors as oneself, regardless of societal divisions. I can't help but share this story of what my mother told me about my grandfather. He had left Colorado to find work in Chicago. He took a train ride to find work, and when he got off the train, he was robbed and stabbed several times with an ice pick. He was left for dead. And then somewhere out of nowhere, two men found him laying on the tracks, and they took him to a hospital, and they took turns watching him the entire time until he recovered. They provided him a train ride back to Colorado, while one of them rode with him back to make sure he made it back home safe. When they arrived and met his family, my family, he was given some money to hold him over for a while. Now that was pure goodness and mercy, along with kindness, love, and patience. By this good act, all of the fruits of the Spirit were manifested. These two men were from the Salvation Army. That's why I usually volunteer for them, and I am forever indebted to them for saving my grandfather's life. Where would I be today? Who knows? God sent those men to find him. I'm sure of that. The conversion of Zacchaeus is an interesting story. Look at Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus is a tax collector known for his dishonest practices. And he encounters Jesus. He's hiding up in a tree, and Jesus calls him down and says, "Hey, we're going over to your house for dinner." How do you like that? An open invitation by Jesus himself to go to someone else's house. Because of this encounter, Zacchaeus is transformed. He repents of his wrongdoing, vows to repay anyone he has cheated, pledges to give half of his possessions to the poor. Jesus acknowledges Zacchaeus' repentance, declaring, "Today, salvation has come to this house." So I think Zacchaeus' whole family was saved because of this. Zacchaeus' willingness to make amends and his newfound generosity demonstrated the transformative power of encountering Jesus and embracing goodness. This was all from his heart because God gave this to him. Zacchaeus all of a sudden found that this goodness meant to share and to give what he had. There's the story of Esther in the Bible, and the book of Esther tells the story of this Jewish girl named Esther who becomes queen of Persia. When the Jewish people are threatened with genocide by the king's advisor, Haman, Esther courageously risks her life to approach the king to plead for her people. Despite the danger, Esther demonstrates selflessness and bravery, ultimately saving her people from destruction. Her actions exemplifies the goodness of standing up for what is right, even in the face of personal risk. She loved her people. Then there's the healing of the paralyzed man in Mark 2, verses 1 through 12, and Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. In this story, a paralyzed man is brought to Jesus by his friends, who lower him through the roof of a house where Jesus is teaching because they can't reach him, and through this crowded doorway that they had. So who dares to tear someone's roof off to lift somebody through it? Well, they did. And when Jesus sees their faith, he not only forgives the man's sins, but also heals him and enabling him to walk. For me, here's the key point of this scripture. The friend's determination to help their paralyzed companion demonstrates this goodness and compassion and friendship and the willingness to go to great lengths to help others in need. This was about his friends that cared about him. This was the goodness of their heart that God put into them. Goodness refers to the quality or the state of being good, morally excellent, virtuous, or beneficial. The word goodness originated from the Old English word, which is spelled G-O-D-N-E-S, godness, which itself is derived from the Middle English word godnesses, G-O-D-N-E-S-S-E. In turn, godness evolved from the Old English word god, G-O-D with a long O, meaning good. So I like to think of it this way. Find the godness that you can do in other people's lives. Be a godness person. I'll share a story with you about Irina Sendler. She was a Polish social worker who risked her life to save thousands of Jews and children during the Holocaust. During World War II, Sendler worked for the Polish underground resistance and was deeply involved in the efforts to rescue Jews from the Nazis. She devised a plan to smuggle Jewish children out of the Warsaw ghetto, where they faced almost certain death, and place them with non-Jewish families or in convents and orphanages, giving them new identities and a chance to survive. Sendler and her network of collaborators included fellow social workers and sympathetic families, managed to rescue and smuggle out approximately 2,500 children from the ghetto. It makes you wonder how those kids turned out. She often used creative methods to hide the children, including hiding them in suitcases, toolboxes, and even coffins to evade detection by the Nazis. She once said, and I like this quote, "Every child saved with my help is the justification of my existence on this earth and not a title to glory." In 1943, Sendler was arrested by the Gestapo's and brutally interrogated by refusing to reveal any information about her network or the children she had saved. Never did come out. After the war, Sendler's heroism remained largely unknown for many years, but in 1999, there was a group of Kansas high school students had discovered her story and began researching and sharing it with the world. Well, obviously, her courage and her kindness and her sacrifices gained widespread recognition, and she received numerous honors and awards, including the nomination of the Nobel Peace Prize. Irene Sendler's remarkable story serves as a powerful example of the extraordinary impact that one person's compassion and bravery can have in the face of unimaginable evil. She risked everything to save the lives of others, embodying the true meaning of goodness and humanity in the darkest of times. But God's light shined through. Go out and be this godness to people. You have a blessed day.